webinar tool panel, you'll see the handout for today. So you're able to download that and follow along with the presentation. We will take questions at the end of the presentation, so please type those in the question block so that we can moderate those to our presenter. When I close out the session today, there'll be a short survey, and we appreciate your feedback on this session as well as ideas for future sessions. And then watch for an email on probably Wednesday of this week with a link to the recording, the CEU certificate that you're earning for your attendance, as well as the handouts. So I will turn things over to Noreen Mina, who is the chair of the Nutrition Education for Children's Division.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Rachel. Like Rachel said, my name is Noreen. I am the chair for the Nutrition Education for Children's Division, and I'm really excited to present our speakers today for the webinar, Vigorous and Virtual. Before we get started, I just want to also give a shout out to the Division of Digital Tech. They also are co-sponsoring this division, this webinar, so thank you for your support. So for today, we have two awesome speakers. We have Dr. Jordan Weber, who will lead today's webinar through his presentation, Vigorous and Virtual. And as moderator, we have Dr. Amelia Hueskamp. Both are professors at University of North Carolina, Wilmington. And Dr. Jordan Weber is a lecturer at UNC Wilmington. He coordinates the I Can Do It program, which provides adaptive physical activity for individuals with disabilities. And Dr. Amelia Hueskamp is an assistant professor at UNC Wilmington, where she teaches childhood obesity and school health methods. So with that, I will turn it over to Jordan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Vigorous and Virtual. I want you to look at the triangles that you see on the monitor, and I want you to think about your breathing throughout the entire lecture. So let's start with our breathing before we even begin. Take an inhale, take an exhale. Now, look at the triangle, and I want you to notice that there's three sides, and I want you to inhale on one line, hold your breath on the other line, and then exhale on the third line. Okay, so as we go through this webinar today, I want you to inhale, hold, and exhale, and try to focus on deep breathing, okay? I want to thank Dr. Hueskamp, Dr. Mann, Dr. Amina. I am Dr. Weber. I have been teaching at UNCW since 2010 as an adjunct faculty, and I am full-time for the past 2 years. I graduated from SUNY Brockport in New York and came down to North Carolina to get my teacher licensure in physical education and health. I got my master's in health education promotion. And like she said, I was teaching the I Can Do It adaptive physical activity class this semester. And I actually coordinated an adapted fitness camp. And I'm going to talk about that today. All right. So, thank you. I want to thank everyone who is on right now with us live or watching later. This is to the Society for Nutrition Education Behavior. I want to thank you to the panel and the moderators. Purpose and why. I want everyone to be the best version of yourself. So I am presenting today and giving you as much knowledge as I can so that you can better your career and whatever it is and to help you be the best that you can be. We are more capable than we think we are. So in tough times like COVID, we have to adapt. We have to kind of rise up to the challenge. So always understand that you're probably more capable than you think you are. Be willing to fail in order to succeed. I've had a lot of failures during this project this summer that I've learned from and that I'll be able to kind of share with you today. And in order to succeed, you have to fail. Virtual learning is here to stay, but it may not be the best form of teaching for everyone. As you know, it's you know, we don't know the effects of virtual training yet. We don't know what's going to happen to our population in the next couple of years because of what's happening. But we have to understand that some people are going to find it really hard to concentrate. Some people aren't going to have access to webinars like this. Some people aren't going to have access to internet. And so it's not going to be the best tool for everyone. More research needs to explore the implications of online learning. We need to understand what the implications are of virtual teaching. All right, so the overview of this presentation, top three considerations before undertaking a virtual fitness and health education program. So if you plan on teaching online, I'm gonna give you three of the top considerations. Evaluate what you currently need and what you need to begin. Create fitness and health content, so we'll talk about the process of that. Virtual and vigorous technology and tips, so we're gonna talk about all the applications and programs you can use. I'm gonna show you the virtual fitness and health camp as an example of what I created this summer, and that's gonna be it. All right, so top three considerations for being vigorous and virtual. One, liability and safety. Two, structure and function. Three, positive social interaction. And we're gonna talk about all three. So liability and safety considerations. So you must have a consent and waiver form. What I used is a SurveyMonkey, and what you can do is create a registration form with questions. You can give them information about the camp, and this is a great way to get people registered, and it gives you an analyst of who's in your camp, any type of questions that you have, for instance, participant information. And then at the end of this, of course, liability and consent. This is something that you and your human resources department or your principal or your coordinator, you're gonna have to go over and make sure that UNCW has involvement with this liability and release form, because that is your most important aspect of teaching online, is making sure that you're crossing all the right guidelines. Okay, so people can agree, not agree, or agree but have no photos taken. So we're not going to be showing any photos of the participants from this camp, but I will be able to show you some participants from my face-to-face camp. All right. So as far as liability goes, one, make sure that you talk to the right person about, liability insurance, and making sure that you're not going to have a lawsuit, because we know that you just can't just start a camp or a program online without the risk. So you have to make sure that you get that covered. Exercises should be safe, inclusive, and appropriate. We're not teaching exercises like burpees, for instance, and if we are, we're gonna reduce them to very modifiable exercises. We're gonna make sure that we're creating inclusive exercises that everyone can perform, or we're gonna include components that are gonna help people that may have an intellectual disability. And also appropriate, making sure that we are checking off the guidelines of what is appropriate and making sure that we're abiding by our SHAPE guidelines. So don't push through pain, especially when you're teaching online. You want the RPE, or the rate perceived exertion, to be 5 or below while you're training, and especially online, because you're not able to actually see them. So we wanna make sure that they're able to talk while they're training. You wanna take breaks when needed. Drink water before, during, and after class. Make sure to eat 30 to 60 minutes prior to class. Participate with a friend and review Zoom guidelines. So those would be my first safety considerations and liability requests that I would make sure that everyone was knew about before camp started. I wanna make sure that they're not eating during camp, and make sure that they're hydrated. So for structure, I like using the whiteboard. The whiteboard is a way that I can just look at the whiteboard. I know exactly what we're gonna be doing, and I can stay on pace. I can sequence activities using the whiteboard, and individuals like to know what's gonna happen, and they also like to know that you have a plan. I like to check it off on the whiteboard, and I like to use the whiteboard for assessment. I think it's really important to have assessment and make sure that you're checking the progress of your individuals that are participating. As far as the digital timer, I love having a big digital timer available either on screen so people can see you actually, you know, counting, or also to use as a tracker for heart rate. So using it to track heart rate, setting limits. So making sure that you're not going over in time as far as how long you should be doing something, planning rest periods. So making sure that you have 60 seconds of breaks between sets or intervals, and then also use the clock as a challenger. So say, all right, how many reps can you perform in 10 seconds? or how long does it take you to get 10 reps? Okay, so counting and using the clock as a challenge. So using structure, okay, and also sequence. So as far as working out and fitness goes, I think the best sequence to have is a warm-up, activation exercises, dynamic stretching, a workout and activity, and then a cool down. So it's really important if you're teaching fitness to make sure that you're sequencing appropriately. You're not just getting into a workout, that you're actually trying to warm up, assess the joints and muscles before you actually endure the resistance training. So I think it's really important for the fitness. And as far as the structure for health or nutrition education, making sure that you are also preparing a full lesson for your nutrition lesson. As far as positive social interaction, you want to make it fun for everyone, especially for the participants that are live with you in class. So before class, make sure you talk to your participants, make sure you get to know your participants. If it is synchronous, so synchronous classes, meaning it's live and you're interacting. Focus on wellness. I like to focus on the different dimensions of wellness: social, emotional, physical, environmental, and mental health. These components of wellness are great topics to just talk about. You know, how are you sleeping? You know, who's your best friend? What are you grateful for? Did you forget about your breathing? You know, have you been thinking about your triangle breathing? You know, stuff like that. So if you forgot about your triangle breathing, I want you to go back to your triangle breathing, inhale, hold, and exhale as you go through. So the teacher is responsible for creating a positive learning environment. It is up to you to make sure that your participants are interacting with each other. It's up to you to make sure that they're having a good time, not only before, during, and after, but after the fact. So after you've taught this 6-week, 10-week, or whatever it is program, are they going to still be involved with each other as a community? Can you create a Facebook group for everybody? Could you create an online forum for everybody? So making sure that is a positive learning experience, but also creating community. All right, evaluation of current needs. What do you need to begin teaching online? Well, a must is a computer with high-speed internet and Zoom. I think that is a must right now, especially synchronous classes that are free. Workspace on the computer, phone to upload videos if needed. So if you're not able to use your computer, there are ways you can use Zoom on your phone. And do you have space on your computer? Do you have space on your phone to even do this? If you don't, you're not going to be able to upload the film, and you're not going to be able to put it in a YouTube video and then give the content to your participants after the fact. So make sure that you have a smartphone to record classes, or a substitute if the computer fails. A working microphone and speaker. So I have different microphones we'll talk about today, and different ways to communicate. Access to email, digital waiver and release forms, Parcues or SurveyMonkeys, whatever it is, make sure that you have your liability. Participants are expected future participants. So make sure that you have people that are going to actually be participants. And then also create a virtual program where you can have participants after. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. A whiteboard and structured plan for each lesson. I think that's just a must. You got to know what you're going to teach, when you're going to teach it, and how you're going to teach it. Whiteboard markers and a dry rag to wipe. Reliable space that is well lit, even on a cloudy day. So this is a sunny space I'm in right now, but what happens when it's not sunny? I have to have lights, because if I'm teaching synchronously and it's 1 p.m. at my house and it's raining out, they still need to be able to see me. So I need to have a room that is clear. And then a considerable amount of education, functional anatomy, and human development. It's one thing to teach physical fitness face-to-face, but it's another to teach online. So it's really important that you understand functional anatomy, that you can't tell a student to sprint, you know, as fast as they can if they're in their house. You know, they might be in their house, so you have to be wary of what they're actually doing and how they're actually moving. And a bonus. So these are some bonuses that you can have: a Bluetooth microphone. I have one. It's called a Hey Mic. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Apple AirPods. That's a bonus. External microphone with a sound reduction. That's a bonus. Computer and a phone both filming at the same time. That's what I had. Two monitors to hide participants' faces if needed. I had that so I could create videos of my classes without filming the faces of my participants. Good lighting, extra lighting, and open windows, so making sure they have bright lights. External HD camera. So right now you're looking at an HD camera right now, as opposed to maybe a blurry camera that would be on a computer. The reason why you might want an HD camera is if you're going live, say on Facebook or YouTube, it's going to be more clear when it saves. Because usually what happens when you upload film is it degenerates and kind of looks a little bit more blurry. So especially with a webcam video, it gets even more blurry. So if you want these videos to last, you want people to watch them, you might have to invest in an HD camera. And the cool thing about this project I did this summer is I got a $750 grant to help pay for some of this stuff. So I actually wrote a grant because I was adapting my curriculum this summer. And so I was awarded a grant of money, so I was able to pay for some of this stuff. A giant timer or clock with a remote, so that's important if you're a physical educator or a health educator, talking about heart rate, especially rests. Music was important. I told people that if they wanted to mute me and add music, they could, or I could also bring music into my background. I didn't add music to the background of my classes because I wanted people to be able to hear me. External hard drive, that would be a bonus to be able to put everything on a disk. A kickstand for the whiteboard, that would be a super bonus so you don't have to kind of move it around on the ground. And then also fitness mats, dumbbells, and resistance bands, and having the right equipment. Okay, so those would all be bonuses. You don't need them, but those would all be bonuses. Okay, so creating fitness and health content, scheduling and time management. So making sure that you are aware of the schedule, you're early, that you are talking to people before, you're helping people get on the Zoom chat, or you're going through some troubleshooting with people that are having a hard time getting on or not getting the right links. And then time management, because it does take a lot more time to plan virtually than it does, I think, face to face, because you end up getting to a point where you're kind of where you're over perfecting things. You're spending too much time with the little things. And then also presentation skills, making sure that it's clear, you can hear me, that there's no distractions. I'm not outside. There's no cars honking. My neighbor's not saying hi to me right now, that type of thing. So making sure that people are able to see you. And now let's move a little bit. So we've been kind of sitting for a little bit and everything. So virtual teaching is this. So it's as easy as go ahead and I would like you, if you're in a chair, I want you to sit up tall in your chair. I want you to just relax. I want you to inhale through your nose. Feel your belly, feel your ribcage, feel your lower back, fill it all up. And exhale. From here, I want you to inhale, relax your neck, relax your shoulders. So just inhale, let your diaphragm move down and contract. Exhale. One more time. Inhale through your nose, relax your neck and shoulders. Diaphragm expands. Fill your lungs up, hold it. And exhale. From here, we're going to try controlled articulation of the neck. So go ahead, what we're going to do is just squeeze the fist a little bit, okay, create a little bit of a radiation, just kind of squeeze the body. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a neck circle. So we're going to perform a neck circle. We're going to draw our chin down. We're just going to make a circle here. Now, if there's any pain, I want you to discontinue this. And all I want you to do is try to draw a circle with your chin, okay, just in a circle. So we're going to go ahead and start. So squeeze your fists. Here we go. You're going to bring the chin down, rotate the neck, look over the shoulder, look up toward the ceiling, look over the other shoulder, look all the way down, keep going, one more, all the way up, look over the other shoulder, and all the way down. Okay, let's go the other way two times. Look over the other shoulder, look all the way up, drawing a circle with the chin, look over the other shoulder and down. We're going to rotate the neck, bend into the side, extend back, rotate toward the other side, bend into the other side, and flex down. Okay, we're going to try one more, and then we're going to move on to the next slide. Go ahead and give yourself a hug. From here, this is a great one if you're sitting long periods of time at a desk. We're going to round the upper back down, just the upper back, so I don't want you to lean forward. So just the upper back down, push into the ground with the feet. Same thing, like the neck, flex down, rotate, bend into the side, shoulder dips to the hip, extend back, rotate toward the other side, bend into that side, and flex down. One more rotation, keep going, bend, extend back, rotate toward the other side, bend into that side, flex down. Okay, now we're gonna go the other way two times. Let's start from scratch. Set up nice and tall, flex down, rotate, bend into the side, extend back, rotate toward the other side, bend into that side, flex down, one more rotation, bend, shoulder dips to the hip, extend back, rotate toward the other side, bend into that side, and flex down. Okay, so that was the thoracic spine. So we just did a little movement since we've been just sitting for a little bit. Grab a sip of water and inhale and exhale. All right, so vigorous and virtual Google document guide. So you'll have access to this guide, but before I show you access to the guide, I just want to show you some pictures of the participants in our face-to-face adapted physical activity camp. So in this class, individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities come to our university on Saturdays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and sometimes Fridays. In some years, we've had 125 to 200 participants in a semester. Our college students here work with different individuals with disabilities in the community, and we create adapted curriculum for them in our gym. And so we get to have a lot of our students go through their applied learning in our gym with individuals with different backgrounds. And I just kind of wanted to share that with you before we got started. So this is kind of what it would look like if there was no such thing as virtual teaching for me this summer. This is what we would typically be doing. And we do a lot of stuff outside, but since a lot of individuals utilize wheelchairs, the gymnasium really is the best place for them, unless we're going on a bike trail or a hike that has cement. All right, so vigorous and virtual. So here are some of the technology you might use when you're exploring your vigorous and virtual options. One is having a computer. That's one of the major needs, or a phone, obviously, a smartphone, and an external camera in case your webcam, or you don't have a webcam, right? So you might not have a webcam, or you might need a clear picture in case you're using these videos for future purposes. As far as the Hey Mic, and I'm not going to go through everything I wrote because you're going to have this document and I don't want to spend too much time just reading to you, and I'll just give you an overview. But the Hey Mic is what I used. It is a Bluetooth device. I wonder where it is. Hold on. All right, it's actually right here. So it is the Hey Mic. Okay, I'm not using it right now because it is a little finicky. I am using a Rode mic right now. So this is jacked into the computer, okay? I like to use that because sometimes the audio from the computer is a little buzzy, but you can also use AirPods. AirPods, again, are a little finicky, just like the Hey Mic. So if you're not tech savvy, sometimes they don't work, and sometimes you're kind of spending a little bit too much time on these things, but these are some options that you can use. So here's the Rode mic that I'm using. It's actually an attachment for my Canon camera that I have, and I actually use that for the microphone for the computer. You're gonna need two male aux cords if you're plugging it into your HD camera and you want volume coming out of the Rode mic and you have a Canon camera. Especially having a longer extension will be important if you want clear audio to where you're at. So if you're using your webcam audio or your computer as audio and you're really far back, it's going to be hard for the participants to hear you. Portable mini studio lights, you might want to use those in case you're in a dark space. Let's just say you can't find a space that holds a lot of light or you need extra light. It does cause some shadows, so be aware that sometimes it kind of alters the picture. The Forerunner 235, that's the watch that I have. I was able to monitor my heart rate in a lot of the videos, talk about my heart rate with the participants, and then also give myself a timer for my wrist. Okay, the Canon camera, you might not have this. This is something that is a little bit expensive and they're usually priced over $1,000. So if you are into professional quality and you're trying to develop a curriculum or program that's going to kind of support something that's gonna you know, be sustainable and you want to create high quality work, then you might need something like a Canon camera. And then if you have the available funds, you'll be able to create really high level work, and you'll also be able to produce a live video using OBS, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Zoom. So as far as video applications go, I use Zoom for the majority of my virtual teaching. Dr. Huelskamp will tell you that Zoom's been like, well, everything that we've been learning. It's free to access. Classes can be recorded. Live participation, smaller, large groups, easy to schedule, and uploads go straight to Zoom folder as they are titled. So for my Zoom classes, everything that I recorded for each day of my camp that was live was actually recorded and put into a Zoom folder for me. So I could just take that folder and upload it straight to YouTube. Canvas, we use Canvas for the college students. This is a system to where students were able to, I was able to grade students using Canvas, and then they were able to watch camp videos that I created on Canvas. YouTube was the kind of main source of video uploads I use, and I'm going to show you kind of where I went with YouTube. As far as Facebook goes, you can go on Facebook live. You can go have participants comment on your pages. They can reach a broader crowd or a network. Your iMovie is really an editing software system. If you have the iPhone, I think it's the best editing system. It's free with an iPhone. It allows you to edit in multifaceted ways. So you can add in pictures, you can do blue screens, you can do split screens, you can add audio. It's probably the best thing if you have an iPhone, is to use iMovie if you're creating YouTube videos. Camtasia was a source I used before Zoom, but I've transferred to Zoom. I used to do the same thing, record my screen with Camtasia, but I think there's just a little bit finicky. So I like to use Zoom. Adobe Premiere, if you have the funds and you're really looking to have professional software and video editing, then you're gonna wanna go to Adobe Premiere if you wanna spend lots of time editing. But remember, it's gonna take a lot of time and it is expensive. OBS is a system where you can actually go live with your Canon camera, and it also allows you to use many different cameras and sources of input at the same time. HeyCam is the system that you use if you have the Hey mic. It's an application if you get the Bluetooth microphone that will only be compatible with that Bluetooth. Ecamm is an application for people that have a Canon camera and want to go live on Facebook or YouTube. It's a system that allows you to go HD clear live on YouTube or Facebook, okay? And also lets you go on both at the same time. Facebook, you can use it for social media. You can get it to get more participants. You can go live on Facebook to show people what you're doing. Instagram, you can use that to create titles for your videos. You can use that to reach a broader network. Twitter, many great teachers are on Twitter. A lot of good hashtags. If you haven't seen HPE at home, sorry, maybe I should just bring this up a little bit. It's probably better. So you have Twitter, which is really good. You have a lot of great teachers on Twitter in the PE community, and we're always sharing lots of stuff. So it's really important if you're broadcasting a virtual program to let your Twitter friends know. TikTok, I don't use TikTok that much. Actually, I don't use it at all. But you can use it to create a broader audience. I know a lot of kids use TikTok, so if you're doing a sport program or a nutrition program for young kids, TikTok would be a source to try to get participants involved. As far as the liability and registration goes, you have your SurveyMonkey, which I used, and you can also use the SurveyMonkey. Let's see here. You can also use the SurveyMonkey to look at the results. So let me show you that right here. So you can look at the results from your participants. Does the participant have any physical restrictions? No physical restrictions, bilateral upper body, unilateral upper body, bilateral lower body. So you can use SurveyMonkey to get some analytics, primary and secondary disabilities, no disability, deaf blindness, deafness. So you can kind of analyze your participants' ages. And for a camp for people with disabilities, it's really important to know a lot of their background, like who they live with would be really important. And then also receptive skills. So understanding what they know before you actually teach them so you can guide them with the appropriate content. And then also looking at their favorite activities, you know, what they might want to learn in camp would be important because you might want to use those in camp, okay? So you might change your curriculum a little bit. Okay, so you have SurveyMonkey, Google. Google was probably the best source. You can use Google Docs, Google Drawings. You can use Google Drive to store information. As far as flyers go, you can create flyers. And then Windows Outlook, we use that for emails with our students, okay? As far as quick tips, practice before you go live. Be professional. Don't be discouraged if people don't show up or do not have a camera. Understand that more people will watch it after you upload it. So even though there might be one or two people on live with you, you know, most of your class might be watching later. So sometimes people get discouraged if there isn't anyone online. Make sure you have enough internal memory in your hard drive or phone before filming. I'm not going to go over all these quick tips, but I will give you this access to these quick tips after this presentation. Okay, so there's a lot of different quick tips you can look at. I also have benefits of virtual teaching options, synchronous over asynchronous. So some things that I've noticed when I was teaching. So benefits of both. Comfort of own home, right? So this is especially important for people with disabilities and individuals who live in rural neighborhoods, people without access to transportation because of age or a car. So virtual options are important. So less judgment than being at a gym. For some people, this is great. Transition to getting people to go to gyms because it will teach them how to use equipment. Okay, create more content unrelated to class, reusable resources that can be edited and distributed, and the list goes on. And I don't want to just read over things that you're going to have access to, but I want to let you know that I have written the limits and benefits, and there's just so much stuff that there is here that's going to be at your access to give you a lot of information, okay? And that'll be part of kind of the presentation as well as we go along. So as far as the virtual fitness and health camp example, I created a 24-day challenge from May 25th to June 20th. So the last day was actually 2 days ago, okay? 24 days, and I got every single one recorded, all right? And we're going to talk about the different days and how I kind of set that up, okay? So you'll also have this link here that's right there. And what this link here is, let's see here. I'm trying to go to presentation. There we go. All right. So we have our virtual fitness camp that we created for UNCW. I Can Do It. So typically individuals in our summer camp go to our gym and go to our pool, and we didn't have that available. So I created a virtual fitness and health camp, and that's kind of my experience when it comes to virtual teaching. That's kind of what we'll talk about a little bit more. So I had a message regarding Zoom. Make sure that your participants understand the implications of being on Zoom. You make sure that you know the difference between being a physical education teacher and a gym teacher. That there is a big difference, and we won't go over all of those, but you'll have access to these slides. The virtual fitness camp that I taught, where most classes took place, was in my garage. Okay, so I created a fitness center in my garage. I've always wanted to do it. I've always been collecting fitness equipment, and I've always known that I was going to have a separate room in my house to kind of perform fitness. So during this time of quarantine, I've actually haven't changed anything when it comes to my fitness regime because I run outside and I actually work out in my gym. But I did miss going to the gym and stuff like that. Now I just spend a lot of times outdoors. But as you see here, I have my timer, I have my whiteboard, I have an edit it here, ankle stretcher, controlled articular rotation or CAR. So what I'm showing you is all the different systems I use to kind of teach class. I was using my AirPods when I was teaching, and that was going directly live to Facebook. The Hey mic was recording on my phone, and I had my Rode mic in front of the Mac recording my audio on my computer. So I had many different systems, software systems, because I wanted not only to go live and be able to participate with my participants or talk to them, but I also wanted to film classes with my microphone so I could use the classes later. So the picture of the process. So as far as what the process looked like, using iMovie is at first kind of discouraging. There's a lot of stuff you have to learn. But as you see here, I'll give you these charts that you can use if you're splitting the screen. I show you how to split the screen. And then I show you what the screen looks like if you want to split. So you could have upper body movements on this side. You could have lower body movements on this side if you were teaching fitness, for example. Okay, so I show you that you can also add a picture in if you're using iMovie. Okay, so if you wanted to have a description of what you're teaching as well while you're filming, you can have that in there, and iMovie is a great way to use that. You can change the length of that picture, so you can make that picture as long as you want or as short as you want. Here is I used Instagram to create a video kind of flyer so I could put it on my YouTube so you could see the title and the workout. And as you see here, I added in a timer at the top right of the screen, which represented how many reps I was doing and the work. So I actually screen recorded a timer on YouTube, and then I added that in the screen as I taught. Okay, so that's something that you could do. If you didn't have a timer, you could add a timer in virtually by just recording your screen of a timer. Okay, as far as music and pictures, in video, you can always add audio, you can add a voiceover. So after you create your videos, you can always edit. And my whiteboard skills here, I'm just showing you different examples of my whiteboards. And the 10 most popular activities in America here. And just kind of showing you the process of kind of what it took and many different things. This is what my gym looked like when I was filming. So I had two computers set up. I had my phone up here, cords everywhere. It was kind of messy. And I had another screen here just so I didn't have to worry about my participants' face being filmed. So it was a messy process, but it was a fun process. Okay. As far as how people were able to log on, I created this slide for participants. So each day of the week, they could just click the link. So at 7 a.m. for Mobility Monday, they just clicked the link. For Tuesday at 9, they just clicked the link, and they were able to get into the class. And I only sent these passwords to people that were in the camp, but at the same time, I can monitor who goes inside of Zoom and who doesn't go in Zoom. So if I don't notice some, if I'm not familiar with somebody, I'm not going to let them in. But I didn't have that issue. So as far as welcome to camp, I'm not going to go over the whole camp, but I do have a 24-day fitness and health challenge video archive. These are 80 minutes in length. And what I did is I created a YouTube page specifically for the virtual fitness and health camp that you can watch at your own leisure to kind of get familiar with what virtual teaching looks like. You can track your progress with this camp. I created a Google Docs, which is about 30 pages long. We're not going to go over that, but it's basically, it goes over every day of camp and how to assess each day of camp. So for example, Mobility Monday, here's the assessment for Mobility Monday. You'd use the same assessment for the next week, and then for Tabata Tuesday. First, we talk about, you know, what scale you should be training at. Obviously, you don't want them to overexert themselves, and then an assessment checklist. And then a blank one for the following weeks. And then we have Workout Wednesday here, assessment, exercise checklist, and so on. So you'll have that if you would like to look at that, and you can also use those with each video. As far as health topics and slides, I go over understanding wellness, breathing, nutritional intake assessments, and extra resources for the participants. As far as understanding wellness, we go over a whole Google Drive. I go through this on Health Talk Thursday. We talk a lot about breathing, balloon breathing, 360-degree breathing. Did you forget about your breathing? We talk about the respiratory systems, natural breathing, simple breathing exercises, different exercises for breathing. So during the Health Talk Thursday, we talked about nutrition, breathing, a lot of different cool things like how many calories are in foods, how long does it take to, you know, burn off, you know, your Thanksgiving Day calories, stuff like that. How much water should you be intaking? So all these participants have access to this camp. And I created different kind of cool pictures for people that were just getting involved at the onset of camp so that they could really kind of explore the assessment and the video at the same time. Okay. So let's see here. So that's the virtual camp. I have the whole virtual fitness YouTube page on YouTube that, and I uploaded each video. And next we're gonna have Dr. Heels Camp kind of show us how to work YouTube.
Thanks so much, Jordan. That camp was intense. I knew that you were doing that this summer, but I didn't know how much went into recording it and the logistics. So thank you so much for sharing all of that.
Sure.
We do have a question from a participant, and I did not know the answer to this. So okay. I am going to ask it of you. She writes, "You mentioned using two screens to record your class without recording participants." Mm-hmm. She said, "We use primarily Zoom as well and haven't figured out how to do the two screens without recording participants." So we're wondering if you could explain that a little bit more.
So I screen share my second screen, and then I put the pictures of our faces from Zoom on that screen. And then when I screen record, I record the other screen, the first screen. Does that make sense?
I'm hoping that makes sense for the participants.
Hopefully.
But thank you. And we are wearing matching shirts today, and we didn't even pre-plan that. So
I figured you would. It'd be like, Batman and Robin. But not really.
Yep. So I'm going to try to change presenter here so that I can share my screen with everyone. I do have just a few PowerPoint slides to share with folks. What I'm going to be going over here is using YouTube as an assessment tool. And let me go to presentation. Okay. Jordan, can you see my screen? I assume if you can, everyone can.
Yes.
Excellent. I suppose maybe I should also introduce myself. So I am Amelia Hillskamp. I'm an assistant professor in the same School of Health and Applied Human Sciences that Dr. Weber is in. So we work together all the time. And I am going to cover something that I have just learned in the time that we've been in pandemic mode. And that is how to insert little polls or surveys into a YouTube video. So Dr. Weber has been talking about how to record a lesson and then how to upload that to a YouTube channel so that students can view it. And probably many of you have done that. What I'm not sure about is whether any of you have also had an opportunity to work with what's called cards in YouTube. So this is just a way to encourage a little bit more interaction with your students. This is really, really simple, and I will walk you through the steps. There really are not too many. It is a piece of cake. It's nice because it is asynchronous. So you do not have to have all of your participants or students logged in at the same time.
And kind of like SurveyMonkey, it will give you results of, you know, your poll or your survey. So you can see how many students are comprehending new concepts. You can just formatively assess and track progress. There are a few caveats with this tool. So number one, you have to keep all of the questions and potential responses very, very short. There is a character limit. I am a wordy kind of person. I really struggle with making the questions and answers short enough to meet those character limits. So that is somewhat limiting. You are also limited to only closed-ended questions. There is no open response option. So everything has to be in terms of yes or no, true or false. You can do multiple choice with up to five possible choices. Also, you do have to have the participant actually click on the question in order to respond to it. So if you're doing something very active, like what Dr. Weber has been showing us, it would require that your participants stop what they're doing and go to the computer and click on the question and then type in a response. So that could be an interference. It could be a little bit of a distraction. I teach mostly health content. So for me, this is less of an issue. So how to create one of these? If you already have a YouTube channel, that's awesome. If you have not created one before, it's a piece of cake. Anyone can do it. Once you have a YouTube channel, in order to create a poll or a survey, you're going to click on your icon, whatever your channel icon is, up in that top right-hand corner. And then that will give you a drop-down menu. And from that menu right over here, you are going to be able to select YouTube Studio. And that is where all of the editing happens. So that will take you to a new screen. And you'll see the bottom right picture here. I've got an arrow pointing to videos. So that will be the next thing you click on, and that will show you all the videos that you have in your library. And then whichever video you would like to add the poll or the survey to, you will click on the image. And then that takes you to a new screen, and you will see video details. And you're gonna have to scroll down to the bottom. Way down at the bottom of your video details, you'll see cards, and that's exactly what you want. So you're going to click on that, and you will then be able to, the video will automatically start playing. So you'll be able to pause it at any point where you want to add a poll or survey. You can insert really as many of these as you want to. You're just going to pause it where you want to put one in, and you'll click on add card, and then that will give you some different options. And one of those options is going to be a poll. So you'll click on that, and you can then create a question and up to five possible responses. Again, it has to be closed-ended, so multiple choice, true or false. And then once you have finished creating your question and responses, you'll just click finish. And then when viewers click on your video and they watch it, that question will automatically pop up in the video and they can click on it to respond to it. The results will be visible not only to you, but also to your viewers. However, it will not show viewers what specific people responded. They will just see what proportion of respondents selected a specific answer. So you can see here, I put a couple of cards in just a little yoga video that I made. And looking at time, let me get us out of here. I'm not sure where we're at. Okay, getting close. So we do have just enough time, I think, that I could, if you want, I could actually walk you through the process in YouTube. So I am already logged in here. I'm going to click on my icon, right-hand corner, And then, shoot. Boop, boop, boop. There we go. So then you're going to click on YouTube Studio. After shit's loading. There we go. Okay. It's being really slow, so I might actually grab the idea. That is not. No. Okay. Sorry. Tech difficulties. So instead, I suppose we could just go straight to follow up. I suppose what I would like you to do with this is to think about how you could potentially use polls in YouTube videos to increase learner engagement. I don't know if any of you have been brainstorming as we've been running this presentation, but if you do have ideas, I would love to hear about them. You can always tip them up in the question box. And other than that, I think we're all at. I have not seen more questions pop up other than the one that we addressed a little bit earlier. So I'll pause here and let people ask us if they have any.
Amelia, this is Noreen. Thank you both for a really informative and great presentation. Sitting through and listening really just had my gear turning in my brain about how you could use these same skills in nutrition education programs, and particularly the YouTube. One of the biggest things that we hear parents say when we talk to them about their young children is that they love YouTube, they're always on YouTube. So just thinking even how you could use, obviously, age-appropriate polling questions to keep the kiddos engaged and maybe making more use of those platforms versus where we traditionally might hear that children are on YouTube watching videos of kids being active, but not necessarily being active themselves or watching those videos where they like to open toys and things like that. So using that platform where we know children are pretty engaged in, and using those same tools to help meet our goals in promoting health.
Oh, I did just get a question in the box. So this question is for Dr. Weber. What kind of participant and or parent feedback do you receive about the virtual program?
As far as the participants themselves with intellectual or developmental disabilities, they enjoyed it. I had one student who was at almost every single camp, and 24 days later, and she said that she had lost weight, she feels healthier, she's thinking more about nutrition, she enjoys learning the new exercises, she says it's easy, and those are all things you want to hear. So I think it was really successful as far as the participants go. As far as parents go, I think when it comes to camps and virtual teaching, if there is no parent involvement, then it probably will not work, because most of the students that were participants, you could tell their parents really had to either help them or their sister helped them. So it's really important to have the parent buy in to this whole program or whatever you're teaching.
And then did you do any parent survey or anything like that?
For post-survey or pre-survey?
Either or.
I haven't created a post survey yet, but I plan to do so and get some more feedback from the participants and parents. So that's definitely coming. So I definitely look forward to that.
If there's nothing else, then we'll hand it back over to our host.
Yes, thank you. Excellent presentation. I don't know that I've been in a webinar when I did stretches, but that was a great idea. Thank you. Just a reminder, when I close out the webinar, there'll be a short survey. We appreciate your feedback on this session. And then watch for an email on Wednesday of that of this week, which includes the recording, the handouts. We'll ask Dr. Weber to send over any additional resources he'd like to send out with the follow-ups email, so that so you can have those links as well. I think he had some quick tips and some other things to share with us. So thank you, everyone, for a great presentation and for joining us today. Please look at the SNEB website for an upcoming webinar. I think we've got one more next week, and then registration is open for the SNEB annual conference, July 20th through 24th, which will be virtual this year. So a lot of great presentations scheduled for that week as well. So thank you all for attending.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Great, thank you.